Hi, this is George Coghill with Coghill Cartooning, and you're listening to Drawn by Success, and all your friends should be too.
Hi, this is Carlos Castellanos with DrawnBySuccess.com, and I'm here with my co-host. That would be you,
Bob Ostrom. How are? That was horrible. Now we have to do it again.
I don't think so. I think this is the way it should be.
You just want the raw footage, man.
You're always complaining about having to edit, so here it is.
Raw footage, down and dirty.
That's right, man. That's okay. What it's all about.
This is the uncut version, right?
Wait, you're not supposed to talk yet. We haven't introduced you.
What? Did you hear that, Bob?
I did. I heard
I think our lines are crossed.
I think that's our guest today. That's George Coghill talking there.
Can't wait to jump in.
Well, let's introduce him.
Okay. Well, anyway, we got George Coghill. He's a cartoonist. Famous cartoonist online. Well, maybe not famous. Okay, well, he's famous, right?
I'm going to go with fame.
He is famous. George Coghill, you know, I met him a couple of years ago on actually not even a couple of years ago anymore. It's probably like 3 or 4 years ago on Twitter. This guy was on there all the time answering everybody's questions. He's like a well of knowledge when it comes to computers, gadgets, illustration, Adobe Illustrator, and all that kind of stuff. So if you've got nothing else to add, Bob, welcome aboard, George.
Is it a well?
What is it a
is
well,
it a well or a wealth? I thought it was a wealth.
Is it a wealth of knowledge?
I thought it was a wealth of knowledge. What do you think, George?
Well, that's what I said. You just misunderstood me then.
Well, let's argue over that and keep George waiting.
I'm just going to take both of them. I just why decide?
You know what? If this is any indication of how this interview is going to go, I think you better hold on to the seat of your pants because this is going to be a great one.
Yeah. Sure. So how you doing, George?
I'm doing good. It's good to. It's always good to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Now we were supposed to get together with George up in North Carolina a couple of years ago.
He sandbagged us.
He did. He bailed on us.
It was a long drive for him, admittedly.
Well, yeah.
You guys are talking. Carlos, that's a pretty good drive for you, though. You're probably what, a couple hours away.
Yeah, it was probably about. Where we had met, it was like half a day. It seemed.
Well, that's just because you guys got lost.
Okay,
you could have been there in 3 hours.
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 hours worth of drive. But, I mean, for George, it was going to be a long, long ways.
That was going to be a long way. For me, I think it was about 3, right? Maybe 2.5, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah, about that.
It was worth it because Carlos bought me lunch.
Yeah, Five Guys. That's a plus. That's one of our sponsors.
That was a good lunch. Yeah, that's a good lunch. George, you would have loved it.
I like Five Guys.
Yeah, we talked about you a little bit while we were there, but so anyway, so George, why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself and what you do?
All right. Well, I mean, right now I'm a freelance illustrator. I guess I lean towards the word illustrator versus cartoonist, just because I consider someone like Carlos more of a cartoonist because he actually does like the sequential panels. I don't really do much of that, but I definitely, you know, work in a cartoon style. The main focus of the projects I work on for clients are typically cartoon logos, cartoon style mascots. I do some illustration work here and there, but the bulk of it's the logo and mascot characters. So, been working for I actually don't even know how many years it's been. It's been a while that I've been doing the illustration work, but I only started working for myself, I'd say about at least 4 years, maybe 5 years ago. And actually, earlier when Carlos mentioned Twitter, Carlos was a big help for me when I was first getting started. And this is back when I was still doing some part-time work, some design work. We did connect on Twitter, and I had questions, and I dropped him a line and was, I was willing to pay for his time, and he was more than generous to hop on the phone, and he refused all forms of payment. But we talked for a good 2 hours, and Carlos really helped me out getting kind of getting headed in the right direction. You know, I was a little bit confused about some of the things I was working on and you know, the right direction to go with things. But all his advice was awesome. And to be honest, I pass that advice on to people that ask me the questions now, which is kind of a cool thing. But definitely always give Carlos credit. But I think that's the good summary of what I do. I'm trying to think of anything else crazy I do. I mean, you know, some of the stuff I enjoy doing on the side, I guess it's kind of related, is, you know, like Carlos did mention earlier, another thing that I got when I first got started working digitally, this was back with a company that I used to work for as a licensing company. They were developing cartoon characters specifically to get licensed, and happened to be in this town, this small town that I live in, and the guy had some success in the past with some characters, wanted to kind of get things going again. And one of the things that I wasn't up to speed on at the time was, you know, digital artwork, you know, the software, you know, Illustrator, Photoshop, stuff like that. And this is going to reveal my age, but the internet was just getting started. And I mean, I remember the internet when web browsers couldn't even display images. You know, I remember when that was a huge deal when that came out. But my point is that there wasn't a lot of tutorials like you have now. Now there's just, you know, there's tons and tons of information out there about how to get, you know, get your stuff started in digital artwork and using the software. But back then I was, you know, that was something I had to teach myself, and, you know, whether it was through books or just experimentation. But I'm pretty big on helping people out, whether it's Twitter or, you know, writing blog posts and getting some information out there about, you know, the kind of the production side of the business, just because I know how tough it was for me. You know, that's a big thing. You know, like, I think Carlos kind of inspired me back then was, you know, setting up a sense of community with people, especially online, when you have the ability to connect with people that are not in your immediate physical area, but, you know, share interests or passions for something and want to do something. It's great to be able to connect with people and to help them out, and, you know, hopefully that goes both ways with the people that you do help out. But you know, that's a big thing for me, is I think a lot of times I see people, you know, struggling with artwork, and I'm like, and if you just had a couple of tips with the software, you know, you could probably really amplify what you're doing business wise with your artwork. And so I'm a big fan. You know, I'm not partial towards digital artwork. You know, analog stuff's fine too, but you definitely have to have, you know, be up to speed on the digital side of things. You know, for as far as websites, you know, Bob and I have talked extensively about search engine optimization and just even just technical crap for, you know, WordPress, and, you know, because some of that stuff gets confusing. So, you know, I'm kind of a nerd about that stuff, so I'm more than glad to help. The way I look at it is, all the hours of my free time that I've spent learning this stuff, if I can help one other person, at least I've doubled the value of the time I spent. So,
can I tell my George Coghill story?
It's okay by me. I don't know what story it is.
We'll edit this in post, right?
If it involves George with no pants on, I don't think I want to hear it.
I don't know if he was wearing pants at the time.
Probably not.
Really. It doesn't really have much to do with the story. Here's my George Coghill story. So one night I was working on a project. It was very late. It was probably around midnight. And I ran into this snag on Illustrator. I didn't know how to do what needed to happen. And I had a deadline the next morning. And so I went searching for information online. I just couldn't find what I needed to find. And I was really sweating it out. I thought, well, if I don't finish this, then, you know, I won't be able to deliver my deadline. So I popped on Twitter and I put up a note. Does anybody know how to do whatever in Illustrator? And waited a minute or two, and then George popped on and he said, yeah, I can help you out. He said, meet me over on, you know, on the IM chat and I'll walk you through it. And he did. And I was able to complete the deadline for my project the next day and get everything done. So it was really cool. And that was one of the first things, first real positive experiences I had had with Twitter a couple of years back, and made me a huge fan of it. And George at the same time too. So I'm a huge fan of Twitter and a huge fan of George. That's my George Coghill story.
Well, that's an excellent story. George is one of those guys that stood out to me that he was always, I mean, I don't know if he ever sleeps or not or if he's got a life, but I mean, he was always seemed to be on Twitter, you know, chiming in with the right answers for people's questions. And I don't know if George remembers or not, but I had suggested early on to George that he started a site where he actually like teaches people how to do this and get paid for it, like a, you know, like a paid membership, because he was already doing it online. He was so full of information and constantly answering people's questions that I almost found it difficult to kind of conceive that he'd be getting any like real work done while he was doing it.
He was like a well of knowledge.
He was like a well of knowledge. I think it's wealth of knowledge there, Bob. George, let me ask you a question. You alluded to, like, you know, your start. What was the main thing that got you to start freelancing? I mean, why did you do it? What was the big reason why?
Well, this is going to be a terrible answer for for inspiration, but it's really, I got to be honest, it's a big part of it for me was, well, I guess there's two big reasons. I mean, the number one reason was when I did have that part-time job, which was sandwiched in between my cartoon licensing company, when that kind of tailed off, you know, there were some things going that were great at that place. Very open schedule. The guy that ran the place, I started out working at, you know, just at my my home studio at the time, and but he ended up getting a place, you know, like an office space or a studio space. But it was like, hey, you just come in and do what you got to do. I don't care when you work. I don't even care if you show up. I don't care if you don't work. And he was, you know, very much, flexible and open about that stuff. But it made it kind of gave you a sense of like ownership over what you were doing, because you were able to, you know, it wasn't like I got to be here for 8 hours. And, that was a huge perk to the thing. I didn't get paid much at the time, but it was a fascinating experience. And we did have some cool things happen. We actually had one of our character groups licensed out for, or optioned for a live film from Tim, I don't know if it was Tim, it wasn't Tim Burton's film company. It was, the people that did the M&Ms and the California Raisins. I'm drawing the Vinton Studios. They were starting up a film production company, but anyways, that fell through, and that was kind of like the zenith of that business. But like I said, having that, seeing the potential that cartoon characters had, at least in the licensing industry. But even when we were working there, we'd get a lot of inquiries for work. For custom work, and the guy would turn it down because he just felt it wasn't the focus of what he was trying to do. But it really opened my eyes to say that there's people out there that need this stuff done, that that there's clients, customers, you know, people that need this kind of work done. And, you know, that combined with the flexibility and all that stuff was a huge thing for me. I'm also a big night owl. You know, I hate getting up early. I like staying up late. So being able to set my own schedule was great. And like I said, when that thing kind of tailed off, I ended up in the in this design job, which was, you know, it was just a whatever job, but it was kind of just an interim thing. But that really kind of set the fire for me to go, I like that environment that I had before, so I want to get that back. And pretty much the only way for me to do that was to you know, at least gets, I got, you know, everything was part-time, or, you know, I was only working at this job part-time, so it worked out actually perfectly at the time. But, I did my own stuff on this, I guess you could say on the side, but actually the way I tell people now to think of it, I say, you know, you're like, even a buddy of mine who's just in a band, you know, he says, well, you know, I'm trying to get this going. I said, well, you need to word that differently. You need to say you're a musician who's temporarily working as a web developer, as opposed to a web developer who does music part-time. And that's kind of how I looked at it when I was working at this design job. I said, I'm a freelance illustrator who's supplementing my income with this job. It wasn't like this was my job, and I also did illustration. I think the distinction in your mind with those, you know, just phrasing things that way was a big, you know, that's a big difference. But that's, you know, that's how I operated, and like I said, that kind of motivated me to keep going. And like I said, touching base with Carlos. I think I'm trying to think if I was still working. I think I might have just started. Nah, I was still doing it part-time when Carlos and I first connected on Twitter. But, you know, over the years, it just kind of, the business, you know, the illustration business picked up, and it got to the point where they the company actually offered me a full-time position when they merged with another local paper. And the salary they offered me was far less than I was already making on my own. So I was like, this is a no-brainer. I can't take that job, and I don't want to anyways. And I was a little hesitant to, you know, make the jump myself. And, of course, in hindsight, you're like, I should have done it 2 or 3 years ago because, you know, the energy, like, I think the resourcefulness of your mind kicks in when you have fear, or I shouldn't say fear, but maybe just there's something that's generated when you finally make that leap and you go, I got to make this work, you know, as opposed to, it's just kind of something I'm dabbling with and we'll see where it goes and hopefully it'll pick up and, you know, maybe some super big client will come along and sweep me away. It's like, I think a lot of people have this romantic fantasy that their side, you know, their side thing's just going to be picked up by somebody. I'm like, I think you're better off jumping in the fire and trying to make sure your feet don't burn. So it's, you know, I think your brain, if you're, you know, you're geared towards this kind of a business and it's kind of an approach, that your brain will kick in. You know, I don't know, that's what happened to me. It was like once I started doing it, within the first 3 months, things, you know, business really picked up. But I think, you know, I don't consider it to be magic. What I consider it to be is, I was like, I got to get this done. I got to make this happen. What am I going to do? All right, get on that website. Expand the website. What's this Twitter thing? What's Facebook? Get on these things. Sign up for these services. Get my artwork up. You know what I mean? You really, it's really starts snowballing, and you really, you know, the energy level just kind of, it's kind of a self-fulfilling thing where it's, you know, the more work you do, the more work comes in, which, you know, fuels you to, you know, keep doing what you're doing and really amp it up every time you do it, you know, the next time. So,
yeah. So, George, what are some things that you did to sort of ramp things up? How did you get from, you know, from the starting point to where you are right now? What are maybe some things that people who would like to do what you're doing might be missing?
Well, I'll tell you, and Bob, you and I have talked about this extensively. I think Bob and I are kind of yin-yang when it comes to things, because Bob's got far more experience than I do in you know, working as a freelance illustrator. But he comes from the, you know, you come, Bob, you're on the side, and we've, you know, we talk about the marketing aspect of things, mm-hmm. and the promotion, where you're coming from a world that's, you know, pre-internet. You know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, I don't mean it that way, but you know what I mean? Like,
my background is very old school. I was the kind of guy when I got started out who used to go to companies with, you know, with a dozen donuts and a, you know, a couple of coffees for the guys, you know, and the internet world is very different from that. So what are you doing? You know, what makes your business go?
Well, I think I benefited from the fact that I was kind of out of the loop until later on when the internet was finally starting to kick in gear. And at the same time, I was also, like I said before, I'm a big computer geek, which I didn't know I was back then. In fact, my dad actually mentioned to me that I swore I would never make artwork on the computer. And he bought me my first...
We all took that pledge at one point or another.
He bought me my first graphics tablet way back when they were huge and expensive, but he knew I was starting to get into that, and I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to do artwork on the computer. But, you know, things change, and I'm fascinated by this stuff now. But like I said, I think I had the benefit from kind of being out of the loop, jumping into things kind of on the digital side, where the nerd aspect of me, you know, activated or something, and a lot of the stuff made sense to me. So, you know, the things that I did specifically at the time, I mean, one of the big things, and this is another thing that Bob and I talk about a lot, is, you know, search engine optimization. Now, I didn't do that at first, and I had a pretty crappy website, which shouldn't say crappy website. It was okay, but it wasn't done with any knowledge. It was done at the time when I said, I got to get something up. I read a book at the actually, this is a fantastic book, and let me look up the title. It's Getting Business to Come to You by Paul and Sarah Edwards. think that's the, there's two names on there, but I think that's it. But if you just look that up on Amazon, it's actually a book that my mom had recommended to me years ago. And they have some fascinating, it's all about small businesses. It has nothing to do with artwork in, or artists in particular, but it has to do with self-employed and small businesses. And they had some fascinating information in there. One of the big things that they talked about, and to be honest, I only read the first, because it's a, if you get it on Amazon, you get it used for like $2 because it's sold so many copies. There's tons of used ones. But it's huge. It's like, you know, it looks like one of those like Adobe Illustrator, like, you know, how-to books. But tons of good information. I only read the first three chapters because the first three chapters kind of talked about what you need to do to get started. And you know, when I look out to chapter four, I'm like, I'm not even doing, like, this stuff isn't even relevant to me. So I actually need to go back and read the rest of that book. But what I liked about the book is it had a lot of counterintuitive things in there. And they, you know, they pointed out these are counterintuitive, but this is why things aren't going the way you want them to go. And one of the big things they had in that book was the idea of a niche. And they said, what I loved about the way they phrased it was they said, the personality of a person who's going to hire like a self-employed person or a small business is what they're looking for is an expert. They're looking for someone who's an expert in a very specific area. If they wanted, you know, kind of the jack of all trades approach, they'd go to a larger agency or something like that. So one of the things they recommend is, you know, their example was don't have a business card that says I do, you know, tax prep and dog walking and macrame lessons. That sends a very conflicting signal to the person, and they're going to go, you know, how can they be good at all three of those things? Which they may be, but it's a lot of this stuff came down to the psychology and the perception of the, you know, the potential client. So at the time, I had a website up that was everything that I did, because I do a lot of different kinds of artwork. I'm sure we all do. But, you know, I'd had some stuff that was definitely not cartoony. I had some of the, you know, the fine art or oil, you know, abstract oil paintings that I had done in college. I had basically everything that I had ever done up there. And it really did nothing for the business. You know, I really got no work out of that website and kind of thought the internet was, you know, kind of was what's the point. But after reading that book and they talked about the niche, they're like, you know, I forget the exact wording, but it was along the lines of find something that you love doing, that you believe that you can stand out above others on, and something that comes naturally to you, you know, something that's going to be easy that you love doing because, you know, this is what you're going to be doing, so it better be something you love. And so at the time, it just, you know, as I was mentioning earlier about that cartoon character licensing company, at the time I was really fascinated by that stuff. I grew up, I got started doing artwork because of Mad Magazine and you know, that kind of, you know, Don Martin and all those guys were like, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So it was definitely, you know, when I had to pick the niche, it was cartooning. And even at the time, I was like, this is like the dumbest thing that I could ever do. Like, why would I, how many people could possibly need cartooning and, you know, this kind of artwork? I mean, it's so niche, but they, you know, one of the things they brought up in the book, they said, whatever you're doing now isn't working. That's why you're reading our book. So why not give this a chance for 6 months and see what happens? So I said, hey, what I'm doing isn't working. I'm going to do this. I mean, what's it going to cost me? It cost my free time to build this website and learn a little bit about HTML and stuff like that. But I built the site, and within 2 months of having the new site up there with zero, you know, promotion, there was no Twitter, there was no, you know, blogs weren't even out back then. This was, you know, very, you know, this is probably 2002, somewhere around there. But the internet was different back then, and it wasn't the way it is now with the ease of promotion and getting a blog up. There was no WordPress. If there was, nobody knew about it. But even back then, just that changing that website over, within 2 months, I had tripped, you know, I mean, I didn't even get work before, and I had already gotten three projects in the first 2 months, which was huge for me. I was like, I couldn't even believe it. I was like, oh my God, this is great. But it was, you know, a drop in the bucket at the time. So, I mean, that's really what I think changed things for me was choosing a niche. And another thing that I just, you know, personal experience from choosing that niche is it makes it a lot easier to promote stuff once you know exactly what you're doing. Instead of saying, I do this and I do that and I do that, that loses focus of whatever message you're trying to get out there. It's so much easier to pick a domain name, so much easier to write the text for your web pages, especially when it's something like they suggested in that book, you know, something you love doing, something that you're you should be an expert on it, or at least, you know, feel like you could be an expert on it. And just makes it so much easier to do all the promotions, because it's easier to associate yourself with a certain service or product that you provide. So I mean, I hate to talk about art that way, but in the commercial art sense, I guess it is. But I think those were the big things for me was chopping out all the extra crap. You know, I still do my own artwork, but that's not the focus of what I put on my business site, you know, my portfolio site. And doing that also helped, you know, mentally focus on what I was doing and what I was trying to make happen, and, you know, what kind of, I guess you could say branding, but I look at more of like the, you know, your online persona, like who you're, how you're presenting yourself on the internet. So made it a lot easier. Clients, when they go to the website, and I can see it now with hindsight, but I look at my old website, which I keep copies of all my websites, you know, locally on my computer, but I'm like a digital hoarder, so it's tough for me to throw anything away with the hard drives being so cheap. But I like to look at the old stuff, and I like to see what the difference is. And I look at it, and I go, man, this was confusing to people. Like, you'd go on there and go, is he going to give me a cartoon character? Or am I going to get some kind of crazy, you know, monster drawing? And I'm not sure what his thing is. But if you look at the site that I have now, which is the third version of, well, it's the first version of that site, but it's like kind of the second version of the, because the site that I have up now is about a year old, and the one before that was kind of just a continuation of the first one that I built years and years ago, and it did me well for a while. But even looking back on that one now, I can see how it's like it was just, you know, kind of hit and miss. But I took all that information, everything that I learned over the past, you know, 5 to 7 years plus years, and revamp the website and really tried to keep that thing down to a niche, even down into what kind of car, you know, because that's one thing, and I mean, you guys are 100% aware of this, is the work you put on your portfolio is the work you're going to get. It's what people see. It's what especially with Google, that's what they, Google finds stuff. Someone types in a cartoon logo, they're going to find, you know, you're going to pop up, and then they're going to associate you with that. So even just the client work itself helped me even tighten the niche up further from my old website, when it used to be kind of, hey, I do anything related to cartoons. And I said, hey, the work that I've been doing really is more character design and cartoon logo. So I just, the new website just put a finer point on that niche. And, you know, who knows where it's going to go the next iteration. But the niche was a big thing.
You know, there's a lot of people out there doing very similar work. So how do you differentiate yourself, your work, from someone else who's doing logos or character design? What would you say sets you apart from someone else?
Well, one of the things that I mentioned this on Twitter a while back. This may sound like a kind of a, this is probably good, you guys are probably the perfect people to talk about with this, but I was at the dentist, and I was in the dentist chair, and I was thinking about how a dentist visit is very similar to the structure of a horror film. And bear with me on this one.
I think a lot of dentists might take issue with that.
Oh, anyway.
Now we've lost all the dentists that listen to the show. We've just lost. Thank you very much, George.
Stick with me, dentists. I'm trying to help you guys out. But okay, you guys threw me off my train of thought. Dentists and horror movie.
Right. It's like it's a perfect setup.
Well, what I was, you know, and obviously, you know, Marathon Man and all that stuff, but this was more on the structure of a horror film story, because I was thinking about it as I was going, and my dentist is great. They're great people. They're super nice, and they really go out of their way to make the experience as, you know, comfortable as possible. And they do a lot of neat things where they have computer monitors up on the in the room, and you can see they have like a digital microscope or a digital like camera that they put in your mouth to like look around instead of the mirror. So, and then they actually broadcast it up on the thing so you can see stuff, which I really like. I think a lot of people want to be involved in the process, which is kind of where I'm going with you know, what differentiates me. But one of the things I noticed was that we were doing a cleaning, and I have very sensitive teeth, so sometimes I need to get the Novocaine. I, you know, obviously they tell me to try to avoid that if we don't need to. But they were doing a cleaning, and they're like, oh, we shouldn't be here too long. But they didn't keep me updated on the process as we were going along. And in your brain, you're just, you know, you're laying back there, your mouth's dried out because, you know, it's all propped open for, you know, 45 minutes, and you're, you know, afraid you're going to choke on your own tongue. And then you're like, oh, it's almost over. And then they come back and they do that one last thing, and you're like, oh, your brain was already ready to, like, this is over. And they come back. It's just like that, you know, you think the killer's dead, and he comes back and grabs your leg when you try to walk by him. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know, one of the things that the dentist, because it's an uncomfortable situation, the dentist really would benefit from informing the client on a more regular basis about what's going on. And I think it comes down to, you know, one of the dental hygienists that I had, she's really good about kind of saying, okay, we're doing this. This should take about 10 minutes. You know, this is going to hurt. I'm going to do something here. Okay, I'm going to do one more thing, and then we're done. You know, we're done. And they kind of keep you updated on the process as you're going through there, especially for an uncomfortable situation. I think that's key. And, you know, as far as, like, artwork, I don't think that there's, like, you know, any kind of physical discomfort or it being an uncomfortable situation. But I do know that at least for you know, who I target and who my clients are right now, that it's typically smaller businesses or individuals. They tend to have never used a freelance illustrator before, you know, to have anything created. So they're not familiar with the process, and they don't know what to expect or how it's going to work or what's going to be happening, you know, what they need to do, et cetera. So one of the things that I've done, and this is coming from someone, and I'm an info junkie. I like to know things. I have an introvert personality, so I like to overanalyze, and I like to know things ahead of time before I get involved. So, you know, that definitely filters through for how I approach this. But when I redesigned my website, one of the big things for me was to make sure that I had a really extensive, not only frequently asked questions page, but a process overview page to really walk people through. And I think I can do better. In fact, one of the things I want to do is put a video together, because I think people enjoy watching videos sometimes more than reading. But you know, just a video with some screenshots and just kind of walking them through how I work and stuff, and really let them see the kind of behind the scenes. But I've had a lot of you know, a lot of clients specifically point out that they were really one of the reasons that they went with me was not only were they did they like my artwork, but they said, hey, you know, I'm going to be honest here. I have a couple of guys we were talking to, and we liked all your stuff. We definitely liked, you know, we're leaning towards you. But then we got on your website, and it was really informative. You walked us through what we were going to do. I felt like I knew I had done this before once, you know, before we even had even started. And it really made me feel comfortable that, you know, if I had any problems or questions, you were going to be able to answer them. So, you know, that's a big thing for me on, you know, especially with online, especially with WordPress and Facebook and stuff. It's so easy for people to get, you know, a web page or a web presence out there that, like as Carlos said, you really need to think about how you're differentiating yourself. And you can only go so far on your artwork. I mean, on the art side, I push myself every project that I do. I'm always trying to improve my skills and my, you know, my techniques and stuff, which is kind of on the back end, but you know, the artwork can only take you to a certain degree. I think, you know, a lot of people, my dad, another genius thing from my dad that I ignored back in college was he said you should take business classes, which I'm like, why would I do that? But now I wish that I would have, because there's a lot of things, you know, and I have some friends around here that are artists that have been, you know, they're aware of what I'm doing, and then that I'm, you know, successfully self-employed doing what I'm doing, and they want to, you know, they're like, and I was like, hey, I'm glad to help. I said, you take me out to dinner or lunch. We'll sit down and talk, go over what you got to do. but I can see at a certain point in their eyes and basically the lack of the next follow-up phone call after like the fifth time we get together is that they realize that it's going to be work and that there's business to do. And I mentioned on Twitter the other day, I said, I think I use my email program more than all my graphics software combined is, you know, doing the illustration work. And it's, I think there's a big thing is customer service and personality. You know, there's a lot of people that have contacted me and said that they email someone about work. They don't hear, the guy doesn't even respond to them. You know, to the inquiry, they don't even need it. Like, I never even heard back from this guy for 2 weeks. You got back to me the same afternoon. You know, I've lost jobs that I waited a day to respond to someone on. So I think being on top of that stuff, being available. I'm not saying you got to be available, 24 hours a day, but getting back to somebody quick, answering their questions, even when you're doing a project. I like to, if I'm getting backed up and I can't get to somebody's project, I'll send, two or three clients say, hey, look, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm working on it. And Carlos and I have talked about this in the past before. Just keeping them updated on the process. Let them know where things stand because, like I said earlier, I don't know if everyone's like this, but I love information. Sometimes just knowing, and going back to the dentist thing, just knowing this is going to take another 3 days. That's enough. People are pretty flexible. People are pretty cool, but they want to know that you're thinking about them and that you haven't just blown the project off or they got to remind you for things. Like, I like to be the one that reminds the clients that they need to get back to me. And I'll put reminders on my computer. I'll touch, if they say get back to me in 2 months, I put a reminder on my to-do app and it reminds me in 2 months to get a hold of them, because sometimes that's the difference between a nice project and a good client that, is busy. And if you don't get back to them, they may, I had a guy I just finished a project up for, actually was supposed to do work for him about 2 or 3 years ago. He tried to, he told me when he was looking for someone to do this, he had forgotten about me, which I guess I'm contradicting myself here a little bit, but he found me online. He was like, oh yeah, that's the guy. But I didn't follow up. This was a completely different project. It wasn't something to follow up on, But had I stayed in touch with him, it would have been a lot different. He'd I'd have been on the forefront of his mind. So I think, like I said, keeping in touch with people is giving people information and keeping them in the loop. I'm trying to think of the right word here, but
I think what you want to try to do is set the expectation, so that the person on the other end knows what to expect from you. So like you mentioned, like you can get back in a day or two. Well, you don't have to be living attached to your phone and getting back to people immediately. If you let people know, give them the expectation so that they're aware that you get back to them within 24, 48 hours or whatever it is, so that they know up front. And those are the kind of things that your artwork doesn't speak to. I mean, your artwork speaks to your creativity and your talent and your skill, but doesn't speak to those other elements that are, in a lot of cases, are more important and relevant to actually getting a project.
Right. And another thing that George has done that I think is really fantastic is he's through these these things that he's put on his website, he's really positioned himself as an expert, And so the way that he stays in touch with his clients and the information that he gives them just establishes that he is an expert and he will help them get through that project,
And that's a good point, Bob, is that that's another reason I put that stuff up there, because some of it's a bit dry. Some of the stuff, and actually my old reply, kind of my boilerplate reply to people was so, I realized I was talking to myself. It was very technical and like, all vector art this and pixels that and, stuff that people probably had no idea what that meant. But I realized what I needed to do was put that on the website. I said, it's not going to be there for everybody. Not everyone's going to read that. In fact, I get people that contact me and say, what is the process involved? Even though right on the quote form, right on the thank you page says you should review the process and review the FAQ. And I know people don't read that stuff, and it's fine, but it's there for the people that want to look at it. And one of the things, like Bob said, I think that it does is it positions me as an expert, because I'm like, hey, I'm laying down this information for you, and they can say, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. And on a little side note there, as far as the expert thing, I think everybody should do it, and don't wait for somebody else to call you an expert. Just start calling yourself one. You don't even have to call yourself one. Just start acting like one and do it. Like, you don't need to, there's no certification, there's no permission. It's not like guru, which anybody does, seems to do nowadays on the internet, but the expert you can prove just by, you know, putting information out there about something that you're knowledgeable about, and it'll come through, you know. Don't wait for somebody to say he's an expert. I didn't wait.